Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, the truth is, young people and old people, the time in which we live, it's not time to change teams.
Amen.
And there's far too many in this day and age that are switching teams.
Right.
And they're going to the other side.
Yep.
And it's a shame. We are on the winning side. You read the back of the book, we've won. And it is getting close. Why would you switch now?
Right.
Because one day you will stand before Him and you will give an account. Amen. So just stay on the Lord's side. Amen. I appreciate that song. And then if we just do the one they just sang. Amen. If we dare to be different. And that's what you're going to have to do to live for God in this day and age. There are far too many that want to blend in and want to fit in with the world's crowd. And we've got to be different. We cannot make a difference if we're not different. They've got to see something different in us, in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, in our young people. Amen. That doesn't mean we have to be weird. It means we just have to be what God has told us to be and what He wants us to be. Amen. Daniel chapter number 3 this morning. Daniel chapter number 3. And I appreciate those songs. Gave me a little bit of assurance that I'm preaching the right message this morning. Amen. So thank God for that. Daniel chapter number 3. I know you all know this story, most of you, and I just pray that you'll listen this morning to what God has for you, what He has to say to your heart. Daniel chapter number 3, I'll give you a second to find it. We'll begin reading here in verse number 1. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the priests, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You know, it's funny God keeps repeating that phrase. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar set it up. Amen. It was his image. It was his God. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." I find it interesting in verse 5, the method that the king used to get people to bow down.
Right.
It was music.
Yeah.
You know, the music that was just sung stirred our hearts and pointed us toward God and even convicted a little bit if you listen to it. Amen. Music's a powerful thing. Music's ruining the lives of not just young people, adults as well. And he used it to get them to bow down. And whoso, verse 6, falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. You got to realize at this time he was the ruler of the world. And so this is a worldwide thing that's taking place here. That's interesting. And all people, nations, languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews as God's people. They spake and said to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And I say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? That's a good question. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, it'll be well with you if you just do what I tell you, he says. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That's another good question. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, amen, our God, whom we serve is able, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, you know that little bit of doubt. Brother Logan talked about that father that said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Amen.
But if not, there's always a little bit of doubt in our human minds. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us in the next few minutes. I thank you for the good time that we've had. Lord, the good preaching we heard last night, I pray that that still would be resonating in hearts and minds, Lord, how we need to heed it. And Lord, I pray that you just in the next few moments would send a calming spirit in this place, Lord, that every heart, that every mind would be listening. And God, I know that you're going to speak. Lord, if we would just listen and hear your voice and then, Father, do what you'd have us to do. Father, help me now as I preach. Guide my thoughts and my words, the things that I say. May you just lead me by your Spirit. And I pray in the next few minutes that the Spirit of God would have free course in every heart and every life and every mind. We pray these things. We thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we know the story. Nebuchadnezzar sets up this image, this false god that he had made. The Bible says in verse 1, he set it up in the plain of Dura in an area where everybody could see it. So probably as people were going about their business and watching the construction of it, everybody would kind of see and wonder what was going on, what was happening over there, what was being made. It would catch people's attention. It would catch their eye. And then there came a day that the king, he gathers together those that are over all the political affairs of his kingdom. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces that he ruled over. And he has a dedication to this image that he makes. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar gives the command first to all of those political leaders. He tells them what he's going to do, and then he has a herald cry out to all people in verse 4, all nations, all languages, that when they hear the sound of these instruments, the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that they're to fall down and worship the golden image that the king had set up. Amen. And then he makes a decree. And it's interesting, you know, the devil's tactics haven't changed at all. In verse 6, he says, if you don't fall down and worship the same hour, you're going to be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. He uses fear tactics. Amen. We're just going to get everybody to be afraid. If they don't do what we say, then this is what's going to happen to them. Where have we seen that playbook before? Amen. And so he gives that command, and it says, therefore, verse 7, at that time, when all the people heard, they all heard the sound. That must have been quite a sound, amen?
Right.
For all those people to hear that, they heard that music, amen? And all kinds of music, it says, all the people, the nations, the languages, they all did what the king told them to do.
Right.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
supposed to do what the king tells us to do, right? I mean, that's what I've heard for the last 3 years. Amen. I don't want to get on a rabbit trail. Amen. Lord, help me. Father, help me. But they all fell down and worshiped the golden image that that king, that ruler, that world leader set up. But then at verse number 8 says this, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldees came near and accused the Jews." You know, there were, thank God, some of God's people evidently that at least were hesitant to do some of the things that the king was commanding them to do here. It would have helped us in the last 3 years if there were more of God's people that were a little hesitant to do some of the things that the king was commanding to do. Instead of fearing. They spake and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar," verse 9, "live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that hears these instruments and these music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And look what they say in verse number 12. "There are certain Jews." You know, at first it sounds like there's a whole bunch of them. Because he says there in verse number 8, they come and accuse the Jews, all the people of God. But they did that because they said, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And I like this. He says, "These men, O king," they knew who they were. "These men, O king, have not regarded thee." You say, why did they do that? Because what the king told them to do was against what God commanded them to do. You know, the very first commandment that God gave His people, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So they knew in this instance, it didn't matter what the king said. They could not do what he was commanding them to do and be obedient to God. Would you get that? There are times that we cannot do things that maybe this world tells us to do and be obedient to God at the same time. You say, what do we do? We choose to obey God rather than man. You may find yourself in some situations sometimes and there are difficult circumstances. Maybe it's a situation with a boss. Maybe sometimes it's a situation with a parent. And I believe you ought to submit to your parents, but if you find yourself in a situation, you might need to talk to a youth pastor, a pastor, and say, what do I do? Because God says this and they say this. And there is a time to stand and side with God over man. And sometimes that is a hard decision. In this case, it wasn't a hard decision because they knew what God wanted them to do. And so these men, he says, they've not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods. Amen. They worship not the golden image which thou hast set up. I want you just to see a few quick things about these young men, and then I'll be done and we'll let the other preachers get up here this morning. Can I say this first of all, and this one's real obvious, but it's needed today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what they did? They stood up. When everybody else decided to bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood up. They stood up when others fell. You know, we live in a time where the world is heading into great apostasy. And we're seeing that apostasy creep into our churches. And really more than creep in, it's starting to flood in. And it's flooding into our homes. It's flooding into the lives of young people. I believe wholeheartedly what Brother Logan preached last night about the satanic influence that people are under and the doors that they're opening in their lives and allowing the devil in and allowing the devil to get control. Apostasy is flooding in. And it's continuing in a downward spiral that's moving quicker and quicker, faster and faster. We see moralities on the decline, not just in the world, in the church. We see purity on the decline, not just in the world, but in the church and in our homes, in the lives of God's people. Decency is on the decline. Honesty is on the decline. Man, in the last 3 years, we just listened to lie after lie after lie after lie, and most people swallowed the lie. Amen?
Right.
Honesty is on the decline. Holiness is on the decline.
Right.
God, the Bible still says, be ye holy for I am holy.
Right.
Godliness is on the decline.
Are we worldly or are we godly? There's a vast difference. And we try to blur these things so much, people don't even know the difference between worldliness and godliness.
Faithfulness is on the decline. Amen?
I
don't think I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm 43 years young, amen, today. And that's not really that long of a lifetime, but I have seen a drastic change in my lifetime. In the 40 years, that generational time in which I've lived, where faithfulness just seems to be a thing of the past. Righteousness. While the world around us is bowing down to everything and anything, we need some that will stand when others fall. Amen? The church is giving in. There's a lot of compromise.
I understand this is a youth conference, so I'm not preaching against you this morning, but there's too much casualness in our churches today. There used to be a time where we had a high respect for our God and for the church and for the people of God, but casualness is not just creeping, it's flooding in. You know, casual is the root word of casualty. You know why we have so many casualties today? Because we're too casual about the things of God. And we've compromised and we're giving up and we're laying aside the old paths, amen? And the old ways and the old truths for some new thing, some new doctrine, just to gain a crowd or get more people, or so people can enjoy church, enjoy themselves. We're turning our youth camps into theme parks.
Yeah.
And it's not salvaging young people. It's not getting better. It was better in the old days when we didn't have all that stuff. We need to get back to the old path. But we need to stand when others fall. You know, these three young men, they were surrounded by other people of God. And when that music started to play, they looked around and you know what they saw? Them bowing down. You know what they saw? They saw the men in my age group and your age group and kind of that middle generation bowing down. You know what they saw? They looked around. They saw those in that older generation, Brother Wood, that have gone on before us. And they saw the grandparents and grandmothers bowing down. Moms and dads bowing down. Aunts and uncles bowing down. And you know what they decided? There's something not right about this. We shouldn't be doing this. And so when everybody else bowed down, they stood up. Thank God for a few that had the courage and the boldness to go against the crowd and go against the grain and not do what everybody else was doing and stand up when nobody else would. They stood up. Love that song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. You want to be on the winning side? You got to be a soldier of the cross. You got to be willing to work hard. You got to be willing to go through some hardship. You got to be willing to have the enemy fire at you and go after you and attack you and belittle you and criticize you and call you names. But just stand up for Jesus and be a soldier of the cross. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for what's right. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. We ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That gospel, if you'll stand up for the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and unashamedly say, I believe it. Amen. I've trusted it. I've received it. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my God. It will empower you to stand in this wicked world in which we live. In this time of apostasy that we're living in. They stood up. Hey, he's something worth fighting for. Amen.
Yes,
his book is something worth fighting for. Your church is something worth fighting for. Your family is something worth standing for. The old paths and the old ways are worth standing for.
We need to stand up when others fall. Ephesians 6:10 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness and all of those things. And then at the end of those verses it says, and having done all, to stand. Just stand.
Until they knock you down or knock you out or God takes you out. Amen.
Just stand up for Jesus. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for what's right. Can I say this? They not only stood up, but when they made that choice there, when everybody else bowed down and they stood up, it says there in verse 12, there are certain Jews. He said at the end of that verse, he said, these men, and he named them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what that tells me? When they stood up, they stood out. They stood out. Three young men stand up for me. Well, there's more than three, praise God.
Amen.
You know what? They stand out.
That's right.
Everyone else is sitting.
Yep. Right.
They're standing. You may be seated. When they made a choice to stand up, they automatically stood out.
You're right, preacher.
Right.
Sure.
Yep.
Where are the standouts in our churches today?
Yeah.
Where are the standouts amongst the preachers?
Amen, preacher.
That stand out and that don't just blend in with all the rest.
Yeah.
That are a little bit different.
Good.
That are a little bit bolder. That are a little bit less afraid. Amen. Have a little bit less fear. Have a little bit more desire to do something for God. Where are the churches that stand out?
Yeah.
That are different. That are standing up for the old paths. Where are the young people that stand out?
Yeah.
You know, the average Christian young person today, if you were to see them in Walmart or at the mall, you'd have no idea they were a Christian.
Come on.
Say, why? Because they've just allowed some things to slip and some things to fall. And they don't want to stand out. They don't want to be different. They don't want to be ashamed from the world's crowd. So they just try to blend in. We have the world's hairdos and we put on the world's clothes and we listen to the world's music and we play the world's games and we watch the world's movies and we fiddle with the world's apps. Where's the difference? When you make a decision to stand up, you will automatically stand out. Where are the standouts today amongst God's people? You know, in the world of sports, and you know, we worship that far too much. But in that world, you know what they do? They honor the standouts. Those that are just a cut above the rest. The ones that are at the top. The ones that are better. The ones that are different. Amen? And I believe there's going to come a day God's going to honor the standouts. And it's not going to be some of the people we think it is. We know how to kind of get in the position of attention. Where everybody can see us and everybody hears us. Sometimes those that stand out are the ones that people don't actually notice. They do the work behind the scenes. They're the ones in the prayer closet. They're the ones up early in the morning reading their Bible when nobody else is around. They're the ones witnessing to a coworker where nobody else can see them. They're the ones that go and knock on the door of a neighbor and invite them to church and give them a gospel tract. And nobody sees that, but they stand out to God. You stand up, you will stand out. Where are the Christians that won't bow? Where are those that won't bow to the fashions of this world? Amen? Listen, just because it's in the men's section doesn't mean it's for a man. And just because it's in the ladies' section doesn't mean a lady needs to wear it. Because some homosexual fashion designer somewhere made that and decided that, oh, this will be for a lady, and then to make almost the exact same thing and call it a man. Amen? Men ought to dress like men and ladies ought to dress like ladies. And I echo what the preacher said last night. We still need some old-fashioned standards and convictions. That yes, your heart has to be right. But man still looks on the outward appearance. And if they're going to see something different, it ought to eventually come out on the outside if the inside is right. Where are those that won't bow to the entertainment of this world? Young people today know more about movies and actors and celebrities than they know about men of God and women of God and the Word of God and what they did and how God used them and the mighty things that God did for them. And they're more concerned about getting likes on their social media and getting a following and all of that than they are about what God thinks about them, what God thinks about their Christianity, what God thinks about their private life. You stand up, you'll stand out. Where's the young person that won't bow down to those things? Where's the church today that will not bow down? Is there a distinguishable difference in our lives? You know, when you make a choice to stand up, you will stand out. God's people, God's church need to be a standout in this world. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 is still in the Bible. Wherefore, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, those words may be more pertinent today than they've ever been. Touch not the unclean thing. And I'll just let the Holy Spirit of God say what He wants to say about that. Amen. We're supposed to be different. We don't have to be weird, but the Bible uses a word. It says peculiar. Titus 2 verse 14, the Bible says, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Thank God. He redeemed us from all iniquity. And here's what He wants to do. He wants to purify unto Himself. God ought to be doing a purification work in your life. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in one trip to the altar. It doesn't happen in one day reading your Bible or one day saying a few prayers. It's a daily thing. David said, morning and evening and at noon will I pray. You say, why? Because God was doing a purifying work in his life. Daniel, in this book of the Bible, prayed 3 times a day. You say, why? I think he was trying to keep himself clean in the wicked time in which he lived under that Babylonian captivity. Thank God he can do some things one time, but it's a continual process of sanctification he wants to do in our hearts and our lives. He wants to purify unto himself a peculiar people. That just means a different people. People that will stand out amongst the rest that are out there. A people zealous of good works. What good works are in your life that make you stand out? What good things are you doing in your church that make you stand out? Hey, young person, what good works are you doing in your home that makes you stand out to your mom and dad? To know that there's something good and there's something godly, there's something holy, there's something right that's going on in the heart of their child. What are the works that make you stand out? Are there any? Amen. He wanted to purify in himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. They stood out. Man, all kinds of people in the Bible were standouts. Job. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. God said that about a man. There's nobody like him. I don't know that I could ever get to that place. But I think that'd be something to strive to be. Where God would look down and say, there's a young woman, there's a young man. There's an old woman, there's an old man. There's a middle-aged woman, there's a middle-aged man. There's none like them in all the earth. He said, hast thou considered my servant? You know what will make you stand out in this world? Being a servant. Stop. Get your eyes off yourself and your own life and you, and get your eyes on some other people. Say, how can I help this person? How can I help this young lady? How can I help this young man? How can I help my preacher? How can I help my church? Here's a novel idea. How can I help my parents? Yeah. Be a servant. David, he wasn't perfect. David made some great mistakes, but you know what? He was a standout. You know what God said about him in Acts 13? It says, "And when he had removed him and raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony." God gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." He didn't stop there. He said, "Who? Which shall fulfill all my will." David made some great mistakes, but he also found the great mercy of God. And he fell on his face before God and he got right with God. And he didn't let those mistakes stop him from serving God and becoming a standout man of God. He a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. There's not one preacher that's preached this week or will preach that's lived a sinless life, that hasn't made mistakes, that doesn't have regrets. Hey, we've got things, all of us probably, in our lives that are under the blood. But sadly, there's sometimes memories. Hey, He forgets. We don't always forget. That's why you need to keep your eyes on the Lord and follow Him and do what He wants you to do. These young men, they stood up. They stood out. Can I say this in verse 13? They stood still. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready," he gives them another chance, "when ye hear all that music, and ye fall down," he says, "well, it'll be well with you." Amen. "But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour." We're not going to wait. We're just going to throw you into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." You know what I see there? There was no hesitation in these men. They didn't sit there and wonder, should we do this or should we not? They knew what God wanted them to do. They knew what God commanded them to do. They knew they had no other option but to side with the Lord. Amen. And they said, "Everybody else can bow down, but we're going to stand. We're going to stand up. And we're going to stand up out. And it doesn't matter what you do to us. It doesn't matter what's going to happen to us. We are not bowing down." They had courage. They had boldness. They had an unshakable faith. They had confidence in their God. They weren't there shaking in their boots like, "Oh, man, what's going to happen to us if we don't do what He said?" They stood up and they stood out and they stood still. With an unshakable faith. They stood still. They had some boldness. "We are not careful," I love that, "to answer thee in this matter." It didn't require them any thought. They had predetermined to stand up and stand out, and therefore they stood still. They stood firm in their faith. They stood firm in their beliefs in their God. Amen. They said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us." Young people, if you get anything, you need to understand something. We serve a God, a living God, a God that's living today who is able. Amen. He is able. He's able to deliver you. He's able to save you. He's able to teach you. Amen. He is able. We sing that chorus, but we don't believe it. He's able, He's able. I know He is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Then we tuck our tail and run and hide. He is able. They said, "We're not careful." And then that, you know, again, maybe that little seed of doubt in verse 18. "But if not, if God's not going to deliver us, He's able. But if He chooses not to, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." If God chooses us for us to fry in this fire, then that's fine, O king. That's what we're going to do. We're going to fry in the fire. But we're not bowing down to your gods. I'll just give you a quick example. In our church, people would come to me the last couple of years while we were there and during all that COVID stuff, and we didn't do any of it. And they said, "Pastor, what are you going to do if they come and find you?"
I said, I'll let God take care of it. It's His church. He can pay the fine. But we're not bowing down. Do you know why people did? Fear. Fear. Over complete lies. Complete lies. I don't want to go astray, but it was all lies. And they were afraid. And because of fear, they didn't have faith in God. They didn't believe that God was able. My son and I were in New Guinea in the beginning of all of that in March of 2020. And the day after we got back into Canada, they shut down the borders. Now, at that time, nobody really knew anything about what was happening, what was going on. You know, they were saying 5% of all populations were going to die and all this stuff. And we're on those planes and there's people putting masks on. And, you know, we washed our hands and did things like that. But you know what we did? We just prayed and said, Lord, I don't know what's going on with this. I don't know what this is. But we put ourselves in your hands. Lord, we trust you to protect us and watch over us and take care of us, and prayed about it and left it at that. Amen. And God did. He is able. He is able. They stood still. They weren't afraid. They had a quiet, unshakable confidence in God. They trusted that their faith, that God would bring them through. They had faith in what God could do. They said, He is able to deliver us, O King. He will deliver us out of thy hand. They stood still. I want you to notice this quickly, verse 23. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, they fell down, bound in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Yes. Can I just say this? Yes. Because they stood up, they stood out. Yes. Because they stood up and they stood out, they stood still. And because they did those three things, they stood in. They stood in the fire. The Bible says they were up. They were loose. Amen. They were walking around. They weren't laying on the ground. They weren't hunkered down, holding on to themselves and rubbing their bodies, feeling the fire. No, the Bible says they were there and up and loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they had no hurt. Amen. I like what it says in verse 27. The bodies, the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. Because they stood up and they stood out and they stood still, even though God allowed them to go through the fire, the Lord was with them in the fire and they stood in the fire. Just because you stand doesn't mean you won't have to face the fire. Doesn't mean you won't have to face the furnace. It doesn't mean it won't be hard. It doesn't mean it won't get hot. But friend, if God chooses for you to go through that valley, He'll be with you through the valley. You can stand in. Then we see here as we close, they stood after. Amen. Verse 28 again, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants. Look what it says, that trusted in Him. You know, all it took was some simple faith. Just no matter what was going on around them, no matter what was being said, no matter what they were going to face, they trusted in Him. And they changed the king's word. And look at this. They yielded their bodies that they might not worship nor serve any god except their own God. They trusted in God enough to say, Lord, our bodies are yours. And if you choose to put us in this fire, Lord, we're still not going to bow down to this king. We need some people today that will say, if God chooses to let us go through the fire,
we still will not bow down to the world, to the lust of the flesh, to the lust of the eyes, to the pride of life. Lord, if you let us, but we'll still stand because we know you'll stand with us. Because of that, they stood after. They yielded their bodies. Romans 12:1, wherefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Present your body. I wonder if you've done that. I wonder if you presented yourself to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to stand for you. I want to stand for the truth. I want to stand for what's right. I want to stand for Jesus. I want to be a soldier of the cross. Lord, would you help me to stand? Why don't you stand this morning with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Why don't you present yourself to Him today and say, Lord, I want to be a soldier of the cross. I want to get engaged in the battle, and even if it means going through the fire. God, if you'll help me and if you'll be with me, I'll trust in you and I'll stand for you.